Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Evan Roberts, Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Trust me, I know. Everybody's bleary-eyed because you stayed up till 4 o'clock in the morning. Well, good afternoon to Evan and Tiki. Welcome to your post-election day Wednesday here on The Fan. I will say that I know that 35% of this country thinks this is the greatest day in the history of the world. 35% of the country thinks this is the worst day in the history of the world. And the other, like, 30%, I think my math is wrong, are just like, thank God it's over. But let's hope for the best as Americans. Yes. We had an election, we have a winner, and now we're done with political ads. And let's all hope we rally together and have a nice run.
Congratulations to, again, President Trump. Whether you love it, it's 4 years. Whether you hate it, it's 4 years.
That's a good way to look at it.
That's how you have to look at it.
And you know what? I know many of you are going to roll your eyes, but this is a good time to Google Grover Cleveland. Well, it's also a time where you try to look at why you thought something and you turned out to be so wrong. It's a very reflective day, the day after elections. You're very reflective on, I thought this for months and I turned out to be so wrong. So, ladies and gentlemen, why don't we do that about the New York Football Giants? Because all of us on this show, I'm not saying everybody listening. Obviously, everybody listening may have very various opinions on this subject. I thought the New York Football Giants were going to be average. I thought they were going to be an 8-win team and be in the hunt come December. That was my official prediction on the New York Giants.
They could still do that.
They could still do it, but it seems unlikely. It's
they haven't started like that.
It's like 8:30 last night. She can still win, but it's unlikely, right? And I think that's where the Giants are. They're not going to be in the hunt. And I raise my hand and say, I was wrong. Your official prediction was kind of where I was, a little bit better. You thought 9 wins.
Yep.
You were wrong. Sean Morass was probably closest to it. You said they're going to be a 7-win team. You're likely to be wrong. And then you've got Tommy Lugauer. Tommy thought they would be an 11-win team.
With the caveat that Tommy DeVito would be the starting quarterback for week one.
There's a little loophole. In fact, I think, Sean, do we have the audio of Tommy Lugauer officially predicting 11 wins?
We have all our audio.
Oh, we have all our audio.
Somebody was very close to Tommy on the show, too.
Really? Let's take a listen to Tommy Lugauer's giant prediction from just a few months ago.
Positive Tommy's predicting 11 wins. 11 wins for the Giants.
Wow.
By the way, I hear no caveat about Tommy DeVito.
Well, they cut that part out. They edited it to make me look bad, clearly.
In all seriousness, why were we wrong? Like, what has happened to this football team where they're getting set to go to Germany, they're 2-7, the results stink, to quote Brian Daboll, the Giants stink. Like, I think all of us have come to that conclusion. And this is like kind of what the Democrats are going to do over the next few months. You figure out, okay, well, why did we lose? What went wrong? So, Tiki Barber, why were we also wrong about the New York Giants?
Well, I think it starts with the first game of the season. And we all saw it against the Minnesota Vikings where they got the doors blown off of them. But part of that is because the Minnesota Vikings are actually a pretty decent football team.
Sure.
I'm not saying they're world beaters. And they're probably not. They're not the best team in the division. And probably they might be the third best team in the division when it's all said and done.
Good division.
How the Packers end up playing themselves out. But the Minnesota Vikings were really good, and it was a hard restart for Daniel Jones. Coming off an ACL injury, the first thing you want is kind of just a stabilizing game. Just don't look terrible. Don't get beat up. Don't get beat so bad that we lose all kinds of faith. And that's exactly what happened. That's why I preached patience after that week one, if you remember. Give me through the first quarter.
Right.
Let's see what happens. And so they started to play better. But I think the reality of this Giants team and why we were all so wrong is because while they fixed the offensive line and they got better defensively or talent-wise at least, they're just it's hard to win in the NFL. And the Giants have played a lot of close games, and they don't know how to win yet, right? And so they did it in year one. Part of that was probably just the uplifting ability of a new head coach who preached accountability. He preached, like, earning your spot. And so guys played with a different kind of, I don't know, urgency. And also they were better, right? They had Saquon. They had Julian Love and Xavier McKinney. Like, they were just a better team
right. All
the way around. I think this team we overestimated the growth of some of the players on this team.
Yeah, to me, they just don't have enough talent.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a bad look for Joe Shane, which is why if I'm identifying the one person to blame, I would start with the general manager because he's been here for 3 years and there have been some really good things. Mm-hmm. There have been some things that you love and you defend and you say, I like that move.
Right.
That was a masterclass in contract negotiations. But at the end of the day, when you've had three NFL drafts and Joe Shane has had three NFL drafts and you've had time to fix the cap issues that you inherited, right? You inherited a bad situation.
Yep.
And I always say this about presidents. It's only fitting. You can only blame the former president for so long. Eventually, it's your problem. Go fix it. Joe Shane inherited, sure, not the greatest situation in the world. But he's had three drafts. He's had multiple off seasons. And while I'm not saying he should be fired today, I'm saying that the reason I was wrong, the reason why they have the record that they have right now, is that I just don't think they're very good. I think the drafts have been mediocre for the most part. The talent has gone backwards, some of which is losing guys in free agency.
Yeah.
I'm not arguing they should have kept Saquon Barkley, but they got worse. I'm not arguing they should have kept Xavier McKinney, but they got worse. So overall, and I know when people chime in on this, when Tommy chimes in, Sean, everybody, callers at 888-808-1019, there'll be a lot of Brian Daboll. There'll be a lot of Daniel Jones. There'll be a lot of that. To me, it's an overall thing. Like, they're not that good. And I admit, I raised my hand. I was wrong about it because I thought the talent on this roster defensively, I thought the talent on this roster offensively was better than this. I did not think they would be sitting here with the record that they're sitting with. They're 2-7. And I look at the talent and I'm like, yeah, that's kind of who they are. And to me, that's on the architect,
Yes. Not
our architect, the architect of the New York Football Giants, Joe Shane.
Yeah. And again, this is the same conversation we had at the end of last year. Think about when we talk about, we revisit the end of 2023.
Mm-hmm.
What do we keep saying? Oh, there were some games that the Giants could have won.
Right.
But they were in them. One score games, field goal games, 2-point, whatever. There were games Giants could have won. think about the start. Again, Minnesota notwithstanding, because Minnesota was much better than anybody thought they were. But think about the Commanders game.
Could have won that game if they had a kicker.
Should have won that game. You just need a kicker. Think about the Cowboys. You won against Cleveland. Think about the Cowboys game.
Mm-hmm.
Cowboys game. You lost by 5. And it wasn't as if they were overmatched, finally, for the first time against the Cowboys. They did win in Seattle. Then Cincinnati. It's the same thing, right? It's just little moments in these games where they don't quite know how to win. And against the better teams, look, they're going to get sometimes beat up.
Like we saw in Philadelphia.
It's what happened in Philadelphia.
Home against Philadelphia.
It's what happened against Minnesota. Right, and the Commanders the second time, yes, last week. I mean, they could have won that game as well.
Yeah.
So it's a whole bunch of, well, we could have if we would have done X. And I've been saying this since early in this season. There's just not enough players, both sides of the ball, who, when they get their moment to shine and be the man, they're becoming the man.
Yeah.
Just not. I mean,
no.
Tyrone Tracy is. But you can't do it with the run game alone. It doesn't work that way in the NFL anymore.
This draft, this current one that Joe Shane had, looks like it could be pretty good. I mean, Malik Nabers is a star already. I think with better quarterback play, that will only be elevated. I like what I've seen from Drew Phillips for the most part. And you talk about Tyrone Tracy as a...
The holidays are all about sharing with family. meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you news stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fifth round pick, Theo Johnson needs to cut down on the drop so this class doesn't look bad. But then you look at the previous year, and for some reason, Deonte Banks has gone backwards.
Yep.
Jalen Hyatt, a third-round pick, I mean, he's a waste. Yeah. Let's be honest.
He doesn't see the field.
He doesn't get out there. And then you look at the first draft. I was never a proponent of Kayvon Thibodeau as a bust. I don't think he's a bust.
Thibodeau.
But he's... What did I say?
Thibodeau.
Oh, jeez. I hate you, Tom Thibodeau. This is all your fault. You've created confusion. But as we sit here, year three of Kayvon Thibodeau, what is he? Thibodeau. Just told me 30 seconds ago, and I can't remember.
Thibodeau.
You know what? Till he gets back on the field, I'm just calling him Kayvon. But what is he right now? Like, he's not a boss, but he's not a star. He's not a guy. He was picked fifth overall.
He was ascending before this injury, big time.
I agree, he was ascending at times. But, I mean, what is he now? Evan Neal is one of the worst first-round picks you'll ever see. Josh Azudu is blah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, I think the talent acquisition part of the job has been very blah. Doesn't mean he's bad. It's not an F-.
Yeah.
But it's blah, and it's not good enough. And I think that's a big part of why we're sitting here at 2-7 trying to figure out why they suck.
Yeah. I mean, go ahead.
No, I think there's two main reasons why they're 2-7, I think. And I think both are related to the general manager, who, by the way, I still like. I don't dislike Joe Shane. But number one, and this goes back to Tyrod Taylor walking out the door, or not having Tommy DeVito as the number two, they didn't do a good enough job with competition behind Daniel Jones. Because when you look at the first six games of this season, the Minnesota Viking game, the Commander game, the Cowboy game, and then the Bengal game, their quarterback play was not up to snuff to make enough plays in those games to win. And what did they have to turn to? So when Drew Lock finally came in, they didn't have enough there when they already knew the quarterback was an issue. The other problem, and you alluded to, and they're still paying the price for using a first and a third round pick in Joe Shane's draft on Evan Neal and Josh Azudu. Last year, when Andrew Thomas got hurt, the entire season crumbled. To not have at least a playable plan in case he got hurt again. The last 3 weeks, I feel like, have been a direct result of Andrew Thomas not playing, because what did we say the first couple weeks? Wow, they're not scoring points, but the offense is moving. The offensive line is not a problem. The offensive line has gone backwards since losing a guy that you lost last year,
and they had
no answer in depth for that.
Right, it's depth. It's a depth issue, and that's how you build good teams, is when you lose a starter, you have a competent backup.
Which they didn't have when Thomas went down, like you said.
That's right. It's been that way forever. And so part of it is roster construction. But again, I'll go back, and I'll say this every time, because I played it, and I call them now. It's hard to win in the NFL. It's just really hard, unless you have a difference maker. I look at the Bills this weekend. I look at the Bills on tape. They're kind of very average. Average offense, average defense. They're exceptional at certain things, but most importantly, where are they exceptional? Quarterback.
Yeah. Right? They have a difference maker
they
in a
have
pretty
a
important
difference
position.
Maker at quarterback. You go look at the Kansas City Chiefs, who are undefeated at this point.
Yeah.
Are they blowing the doors off everybody? Are they beating everybody 20 points? No. They win one score games. Why? Because they have an exceptional quarterback. Like, if you're an average team and you have average talent, which the Giants do, and some of them are great. Like, Dex is great. I think Tyrone Tracy could be a really good player. Malik Nabers could be a star, right? They have some really exceptional players. But by and large, in mass, they're just average. And so the only way to get an average team to win close games, which almost every game in the NFL is, by the way, they're always close, is you have to have someone exceptional at quarterback. And the Giants don't have that. Now, this isn't a let's blame Daniel Jones, because you get tired of just blaming Daniel Jones all the time. But if we're going to sit and evaluate why the Giants are where they are and why they've lost some of these close games, the first thing you got to look at is a quarterback who can't throw touchdowns at home until last week, obviously, right? Who can't win and make that play in the moment that wins you a game. It's hard to like look at this team and feel optimistic, even though you try your hardest to look at the future and say, man, it's just, you're almost there. Because they are almost there, but they're not even close.
Are they a quarterback?
Does that make sense?
Yeah, but are they a quarterback away?
No, nobody is any player away. I will never hear that you're a quarterback away. Well, because if you
but isn't that what you're kind of saying though?
No, like, because they need a quarterback who is a lifter. And Daniel Jones works his ass off. He's a leader. I'm not maligning him in any way at all. But when it comes to production, there's always something that sets the team back. And whether it's a stupid screen pass that he can't get out of his hand fast enough and turns into a fumble and gets you know, put in Commander's territory and they score a touchdown three plays later, it's like little things like that.
Right.
Right, great players that doesn't happen to.
Right.
Right. They just there's an awareness. There's a football IQ that's above the X's and O's that not enough players have on this team. And if you don't, it's really hard to win.
Well, and that's where I know people are sick of blaming Daniel Jones. I'll blame Daniel Jones, but above Daniel Jones is the fact that he's still the quarterback of this team. Mm. This administration inherited a roster 3 years ago, and while they've made a lot of changes and they've brought in new talent and the cap space looks different, the constant's been the quarterback.
Yeah.
So instead of just saying it's Daniel Jones' fault, which is valid, I say it's the GM's fault for continuing to employ the quarterback as the starting quarterback. And I get it. Well, what else could they have done over the last 3 years? And it's a fair argument. I didn't like any of the quarterbacks in this draft. I get all that. But ultimately, when you look for the blame on why this team is 2-7, it comes down to decisions this general manager's made, which to me starts and ends with the fact that Daniel Jones is still the quarterback. So it's not even blaming Daniel Jones anymore. We all know he's average, and I think that was your description. Yeah, if they had more talent, if they had the talent of the healthy Niners team, Daniel Jones could be fine and suitable, and they could go on a run. But they don't have that.
Yeah.
And when you don't have that, you need better quarterback play. With that said, there's a segment of the audience that says, guys, you're leaving out the reason that they suck. Mm-hmm. You're leaving out the guy that they want to blame. But guess what? We're a show that looks out for you. So, ladies and gentlemen, here's your third-party voice, RFK Jr., Tommy Lugauer.
Thank you, Evan. I appreciate that. The head coach has 2 wins, and I'm sorry, when you're close in these games, you don't get a trophy for, you know, we tried, we kept it close. The head coach has 2 wins. I'm sorry, they have been several winnable games this season. So I put the blame on his doorstep for not doing the best that has been given to him. Not everybody has Josh Allen. Not everybody has Patrick Mahomes. Not everybody has Lamar Jackson. But you find a way to win with the guys that you have in this locker room. And he has not done that this year. They have 2 wins on the season. They are bottom feeders.
You know what I wonder about? If Brian Daboll was the guy from 2 years ago who won Coach of the Year, and he was getting the most out of the talent that you described, what would they still even be? Like, that's what I wonder about. I know that the margin for error is so small in the NFL. Like, one thing goes different, you can win and lose. Yeah. But I look at the talent, and I still think, like, yeah, you're right. They could win a game or two here and there and maybe overachieve a little bit.
Right.
But they're not good.
Yeah, they'd be 4-5 or 3-6. I think they would have won a couple of those games.
Fine. They still wouldn't be good.
Again, that comes to quarterback. I think, though, to back Tommy's point, a breaking quote has just come out during our open.
Go ahead.
From Wink Martindale.
Wink?
Oh, jeez.
Wink Martindale at his Michigan presser was asked if he could see himself coaching in college for the long haul. I'm glad I'm here, he said. I love the players we have. It's a lot better than being in some places that are 2-7.
Wow. I admire that.
Wow.
That's a guy saying, you know what?
That's
screw
a
it.
Troll job.
Par
excellence.
He is on a team with 4 losses in college and won a national championship last year.
That's true.
Also, in fairness to Wink Martindale, can I just give you just a couple facts? Just a fact here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, the New York Football Giants went 6-11 with the 26th ranked defense in the NFL. This year, they have the 15th ranked defense in the NFL.
And they're leading the league in sacks.
Like, the Giants are 2-7 because you know where they rank offensively? 32nd.
Dead ass last.
Dead ass last. So I appreciate Wink Martindale spiking the football on the Giants because he's a bitter man. And when you're bitter, that's what you do. I mean, that's what happens.
But let's not get it twisted, Wink. You could argue Shane Bowen's done a pretty damn good job.
Right.
Can I just get back to the head coach for a second here? I hold him personally responsible for the first loss against the Commanders. Why 2 years in a row, when they have an entire offseason to get prepared for week one, they got blown out both times in week one, including this year, which was a homecoming game. John Mara basically had his entire family here and all the great legends that played for the team, and they got their ass kicked twice. So what did you do all offseason that you got embarrassed? They should have beat the Cowboys. I accused them of tanking in the game. You want to go more down the list here? The Bengals game was close. Why didn't they win that game? Even this past Sunday, they didn't win. The Steelers' two-point conversion.
But you know what a part of that
That's
is?
That's a lot of games I just pointed to.
It's all fair, and it's what Tiki was saying about how close they've been to winning.
Yeah.
But I think it goes back to Tiki's answer of they don't have those game-changing players to be the difference in winning those games. And it starts with the quarterback, who they've decided to run out for a third straight year. And they're still running him out there.
Also, where are the Tiki Barbers? Where are the Antro Rolls? Where are the Michael Strahans? Where are the Plexico Burrises? Where are the leaders that we all grew up watching with this team? Where are they? Dexter Lawrence? Who is the guy that steps up in the locker room and says, this is crap?
Tiki, it's a fair question. Do you think this room kind of lacks leadership? Is that another part of why they don't win?
Because I think Dex is a really good leader, obviously. And even if he's doing it by example, I know he talks as well. So Dex is definitely a leader. The challenge, though, is that you can have these vocal leaders, but they also need to perform, right? Meaning the leader. Right? If you're going to be a vocal leader, then you better give it to them every single day. Then every Sunday, your team better count on you, and you better deliver every single day. And that's why when I talk about, say, from the offensive side with Daniel Jones, I know he's leading this team. I know he's not a bad leader, but he's not producing, right? You're not watching him saying, I know he's making this play.
Mm.
You're saying, God, I hope he makes this play.
Right. That's very different.
And that becomes very difficult to stomach when he doesn't make the play or he makes a negative play and it causes you to lose. And so even though he's your leader, it's like, but dude, man, come on.
There were some Giant fans who expected this. There were some Giant fans who had greater hope. I thought they'd be better. Why are they 2-7? A little autopsy on the Giants. We'll get to your calls coming up at 888-808-1019. Plus, for the first time ever, we look forward to it. It's a Borisov right here on WFAN. You've all heard the stories of Scott Boris's dad jokes concerning MLB free agents. Well, tonight, Scott Boris gets put to the test. How does his dad jokes on his free agents? How good are they against Sean Morash's dad jokes on Boris's free agents? We'll get to that coming up in the 3 o'clock hour.
One piece of good news if you're a New York Giant fan.
At least you play at 9:30 on Sunday. I think that's badass. Wake up, have some eggs, a little bacon, a little French toast.
Get it over with.
And get it over with, yeah. If you lose, at least it's over quick. And then you can just relax watching the rest of the football day with the Jets playing at 4:25. I like the 9:30 a.m. games. In fact, I have this idea that we should ban Sunday night football and just make Sunday morning football like the new Sunday night football.
Can I speak for the non-parent and also the youngest voice on the show for those people that party
How
on Saturday
old are you,
nights?
By the way?
I'm 39.
I'm 41 and Sean's 37. He's younger than
but
you.
But I'm a non-parent. And I'll speak for the younger people out there. They want to go out and party Saturday night. They don't want to wake up and watch football at 9 in the morning. We don't go to bed early Sunday night. Keep Sunday night football.
We're already up for like 2 hours before the game kicks off.
Right, yeah. But not everybody is, I'm saying.
How late do you sleep, bro?
Me? With no kids on a Sunday? 11 a.m.?
Really?
11 a.m.?
I don't have...
still in high school?
I don't have children asking me 5,000 questions. I could sleep in.
But that's just hard to do, though.
Like even not when you go to bed late.
Even before I had children, I was not sleeping till 11 a.m. on Sundays.
Oh, that's just immature. Yeah. No, honestly, it's very immature.
Dude, in college, I would sleep till like 2 p.m.
But that's different, though. When you're in college, you don't get it. You're in your 40. You don't get anxiety if you're up till 1 a.m. on a Saturday. Be like, oh my God, my whole next day's ruined.
You know what he is, Tiki and Sean?
What's
he's that guy who thinks he's younger than he actually is.
Yeah.
And talks about how young he is. And meanwhile, he's going to be the creepy guy at the bar when he's 60.
Yeah.
You know that old guy that you're like, oh my God.
He's wearing the leather jacket again.
You call the cops on him.
You know what? You wake up at 8 a.m. for football. I'll sleep till 11.
Fair enough. 888-808-1019. The Giants are 2-7. I thought they'd be better. Loogie thought they'd be better. Tiki thought that. We all thought they'd be better, and they're not. Why? To me, it's about the roster. It's just not that good. Let's go to Jackson in Plainview to lead it off. What's up, Jackson?
Hi, Evan. Hi, Tiki.
What's up?
What's up?
Lugie keeps blaming the head coach, but if you go down the list and you go each and down every single game, you can just go look, and it's just based on the personnel on offense, and they just suck. Go down. Minnesota, offensive disaster. Washington, that's the only point where the head coach blew it. Beat Cleveland, Dallas, awful. Seattle, they beat. Bengals, disgrace. Eagles, awful. Steelers, disgrace. And Washington, disgrace. So it's just the quarterback sucks, the personnel sucks, and we're going to blame the head coach because the quarterback sucks. We're going to blame the head coach because Andrew Thomas is hurt. I'm so tired of it. I can't wait for January 8th.
What the hell is January 8th? When the season
ends? The season. That's the last weekend of the season.
I thought it was like we're talking about the Electoral College in Congress or something. Maybe I have that on my mind or something. I thought that was January 6th. Anyhow, can I ask you a question? As he was saying this, it was going through my mind. Quarterback. So, Tiki, I know you've said this before. I think you've said this on broadcast. I think you've said this on the radio. And this is more of a national thing. But the quarterback play in the NFL, not great. Is that fair to say?
It is very mediocre.
Okay. Very mediocre. So forget the elite guys for a second. Forget Patrick Mahomes, who hasn't even been elite this year.
And by the way, most of them, again, you just said it, even the top guys aren't elite guys.
Right, right.
There's one. There's literally one. There's two. Jared Goff, who has more touchdown passes, or almost as many touchdown passes, as he has incompletions.
That's incredible.
In the last, like, five games or four games.
Yeah.
And then Lamar Jackson, who had another perfect game this year, last weekend. He's been phenomenal, but that's mostly because they run the hell out of the ball.
No,
but for the most part, even the really good quarterbacks are kind of average.
Yeah, I think that there's four tiers of quarterbacks. There's Pat Mahomes, despite him having a bad year. I can't be short-sighted enough to say he's not
and
Pat
for him,
Mahomes.
He's like Josh Allen. He just finds ways to win games.
Right, they're undefeated. That's the best part about him. He's 11 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, mediocre numbers. Okay, they haven't lost the game. Then you've got the guys you're talking about. Lamar Jackson, Jared Goff, Josh Allen, maybe Joe Burrow. I'm kind of on the fence.
Yeah.
And then you've got the other ones, the guys that are okay. All right? If you took, and I'm going to give you like the most okay quarterback out there. We talked about him the other day. Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
Or you took Kirk Cousins, who I think is okay.
Right.
And you put them on this giant team with this offensive line, with these running backs, these wide receivers, this head coach. How different is this offense
Not
in your opinion?
Not very much. Trevor Lawrence would be exactly like Daniel Jones.
Exactly?
They would have the same problems.
That's a problem.
They'd have the same problems.
But doesn't that show you how far away they are then?
Yeah. And maybe Kirk Cousins, because he's so much more experienced and has been on bad teams before when he was in Washington. But I think so much of this, we want to blame Daniel Jones, but it's just kind of everything.
Yeah. It is a little bit of everything. Chris in Tinton Hills. What's up, Chris?
Hey, boys. Good to hear from you.
What's up?
So, guys, I don't expect you to recall this, but right before the start of the season, you guys were doing a quick poll, optimism about the Giants or non-optimistic, and I called you guys and said, I am not optimistic. And one of the big reasons I cited was we saw it on Hard Knocks. The hierarchy had no faith in their quarterback.
Yeah.
And when I look at it, guys, I think, Evan, you're spot on, and I'm with Lugie on this. Dable appears to be a very good offensive coordinator. I think the jury's very much out on whether he's a good head coach. And it's just a body of evidence, man. The 3 years, one was good, and I sound like a broken record, but they dismantled what they did in year one. And I'm just real quick, because I've thought a lot about this. I don't understand this logic of a position that touches the ball twice as much as any other position except quarterback gets paid half as much as a great wideout for equal or greater production, and you won't pay that. That's moronic. And further indictment of those guys, they bet on Motor Singletary. Tyrone Tracy fell in their lap. We saw it.
Yeah.
How excited Dable was, Motor. They're giving him $5 million. Now, I've looked at this a lot. Do you know percentage-wise for his production? You might as well have paid Barkley, because you're getting percentage for how much cap, the same money. And now you've locked up, and Burns has been good, but you say, where can we make? They had so many holes, now they've locked up a bunch. I think they've mismanaged this. I think Dable looks like a really good offensive coordinator. I have questions as a head coach, and Shane has a lot of misses.
Yeah,
I don't know your guys' thoughts on
that. We talked about Joe earlier. There's a lot of draft picks that just didn't and might not pan out.
Mm.
And that's even, I don't know if Deontay Banks is going to pan out to be one of the top corners in the NFL.
It's tough to think that considering the regression and the issues with effort that we've seen this year.
Exactly right. Like the fact that you got to bench a kid because he's not trying. Like what the hell? Did you not? It's hard to anticipate that. But there had to be some like warning sign that was going to happen.
Right.
I just think that's unfathomable to me that someone would not give a crap in the middle of a game.
Especially someone who's still trying to prove themselves.
Yes.
You know, I'm not trying to say it's okay. Like there's a video, I don't know if you guys have seen this, of DJ Moore basically quitting in the middle of a play over the weekend.
Yeah.
Where he just walked off the field.
I think he was might have been hurt.
It looked, but then he stayed in the game, didn't he?
He limped off to the sideline, but also at that time it looked like Caleb Williams was falling out of bounds.
Right, so they were both running towards the left sideline, and it looked like Caleb Williams was going out of bounds.
But then he did go out of bounds.
DJ Moore was like trying to make himself available while running out of bounds, and so he just took his eye off of him and like kind of grabbed his hamstring and limped into the. Onto the sideline.
I mean,
and Caleb Williams is still alive in the play.
That's quitting on a play. Or you guys come up with any excuse you want. Like, you really want to defend that?
Yes, I am. I think the all 22 of that made it look worse than I think it actually was if you were on the field in real time.
He walked off the field in the middle of a play.
But he was already on the sideline ready to catch, and the quarterback's falling out of bounds. Then suddenly the quarterback escapes, and he's on the bench already.
Oh, so it's the first time a quarterback's ever escaped and kept a play going?
This isn't even my team, but I'm telling
it's
you.
Hard, it's hard for me to indict DJ Moore.
All I'm saying is he's at least a veteran. When you've been in the league for 35 seconds, quitting or giving up or not giving full effort, however you want to describe it, can't happen.
No, I agree.
And that's happened. So when we talk about him as one of the talented pieces on the roster, you have to be skeptical that he's even going to be on the roster 2 years from now or even a year from now at this point. Let's go to Victor in Harlem. What's up, Victor?
Hey, guys.
Victor?
We lost you.
Sorry, your reception sucks. My bad. Let's go to Andrew in Westchester. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
I want to respond to something Tiki said, and then Evan, I'm coming at you.
Yeah.
Coming right at you.
You come at me hard, baby. Let's go.
All right. So first of all, Tiki, I completely agree on the fact that this team has not learned how to win, and that's probably the biggest disappointment with Dable is that after year one, you know, you thought there was a bit of a culture being established.
100%.
And teaching that part.
100%, Andrew.
And right now, it just seems like that old cliche, they've been doing everything just good enough to lose. And a bit of a losing headset has set in, and it's not good. And it's certainly not good for our fans, because every week I go into it thinking, this is not going to be good, no matter who we're playing.
Yeah, even when you get an optimistic, like, day or drive.
Mm.
Like in Seattle, it was like optimistic. It was like, man, they went 10 plays or whatever it was right down the field. And then you fumble on the 1 yard line and it goes the other way. Last week, they're just gashing the Commanders and Daniel Jones throws a screen and fumbles it and it turns into a touchdown the other way. And that ultimately was
and
the difference of the game.
You're just waiting for it to happen.
Exactly right. you're just waiting for the negative to happen.
Yep.
All right. Now, Evan.
Yep.
Evan. And you probably can be excused because you're a Jet fan, so maybe you weren't really paying attention. I get that. But,
oh, boy.
You know,
love when it starts that way. Go ahead.
Yeah, you look at this roster week by week, other than Sexy Dexy and Andrew Thomas, what position do the Giants have the best player on the field at any given game?
Where they have the best player on the field?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a hard one.
I mean, I guess sometimes Malik Nabers feels like he can be that guy.
Yeah, but a lot of teams have great wide receivers.
No, you're right. Like, you're playing a team like...
My point is, Evan, you're all over the place. On the one hand, the roster's been the roster. So at the beginning of the year, before the year starts, you're like, oh, I was optimistic. They're going to be good. Why? And now you're saying, what's the reason for it? There's no reason. The roster's the roster. There's no good.
Oh, but I'll tell you. Okay, so what you're getting at me for, which is reasonable, is wait a second, Evan. You thought they were better. You're just an idiot. Like, they are what they are. And I understand that there are a lot of Giant fans who are probably sitting here today saying, I expect a 2-7. I will try to briefly walk you through why I had optimism and where I think I was wrong. My formula for where I thought the Giants would be successful this year is I thought their defense had a chance to be really good. And in some aspects, it has.
Yeah.
Like, they're sacking more quarterbacks than any team in the league.
That's right.
They were going to be based on having a ferocious pass rush, which, for the most part,
has happened. So I felt good about that. I thought their secondary would be better. I thought that you wouldn't have a second-year corner like Tay Banks quitting on the field. So I thought the Giant defense, which is middle of the pack this season, would be a tick better. Okay? So not that wrong about that, but a little bit wrong. Here's where I was really mistaken. I thought their offense, because Malik Nabers was going to be a star and their offensive line was so vastly improved, that this was going to be very similar to the 2016 Giants, a team that had a really good defense, that had that one playmaker and Odell Beckham Jr., because I didn't think Eli was that amazing that year. It was basically Odell making plays.
Yeah.
He'd break off a slant for 85 yards and he'd take it to the house. And I thought that that formula would be how they could be an 8-9 win team. So your question is, well, why were you wrong? I overthought the offense.
Yeah.
I didn't think they'd be 32nd in the league.
I think you also, I think everybody did, underestimated Washington. Nobody thought that Washington would.
I don't own that because I picked them to win the division. So I'll take.
I'm not talking about you. I'm just talking about in general.
Yes.
It like a lot of thought the Washington was going to struggle.
Right.
Right? You had a dysfunctional situation. You got a new owner. You got a rookie quarterback. And a new head coach, new coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury, who started out well in Arizona but then fizzled and was in college. It's like, they got to figure themselves out. And instead, they're one of the best teams in the NFC. And they've had them twice. They've lost to them twice by a total of 8 points. So it's like you've just lost to the teams that people thought you were supposed to beat this season. And maybe even beat some of the teams that you didn't think.
Right.
Like Cleveland was supposed to be good. They're a cluster. You know that because of their quarterback. He's no longer their quarterback, obviously, because he's out for the season. And in Seattle, nobody thought the Giants were going to beat Seattle. I mean, they could easily beat Ofer right now.
Imagine that.
Right.
Actually, Sean would be happy.
But in those games, they've played pretty good football.
Yeah.
And in some of these games that they've lost, they played pretty good football, just not good enough to win.
Competitive losses.
Exactly right. Competitive loss. And competitive losing is it's a bane. Because you can't kill the coach, but you also can't give him credit.
Right. I think the positive to competitive losing is that for those that want the highest pick possible, it's your way to eat your cake and have it too, where you're losing games, getting the best pick possible, but you still feel like, okay, well, we're on the right track because we're competitive.
Yeah.
As opposed to just being awful where you feel like you have to blow up the entire administration.
But that would give you confidence in the following season if you fixed what you thought was the biggest flaw.
And what is their biggest flaw?
I think the quarterback.
If Kirk Cousins was their quarterback right now, what would their record be?
I think they have at least 5 wins.
Really?
I do. I do. And I'll do you one better. There's no excuse for Tay Banks quitting on plays and some of the stuff that happened. If the mentality in that room is we can lean on our offense to score points, I bet you the mentality on some of those guys like Tay Banks isn't to quit either. I think it wears you down.
Yeah.
You think that's true?
It probably does, but it's still unacceptable.
I didn't say it was acceptable.
It's still unacceptable.
Nobody's defending it.
You got to take pride in yourself.
Yep.
Because the eye in the sky don't lie. That's going to show up on tape. There is going to be somebody from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers next week as the Giants are on a bye week, getting ready for the Bucs-Giants game, and they're going to see Tay Banks just quit trying to chase down Jalen Hurts, and he's going to get clowned.
Yeah.
And his respect level around the league is just going to plummet.
Right.
Because people see it, right? You watch it. When I watch tape, I see people dogging it. And people are going to watch Tay Banks dogging it against the Philadelphia Eagles and say, this kid's a punk, man. This kid doesn't really want it. And that's the last thing you want.
Yeah.
Like, if you care about being great, you can't put that BS on tape, period. Because this eye in the sky don't lie. It's a cliche for a reason. You can't hide from it.
I wonder if anyone said that to him.
Somebody needs to say it to him.
Well, maybe he's listening to you right now.
I hope he is. Because that you don't escape that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't.
Yeah.
People see it.
Yeah. It's like what Big Mac did last night, 4:45 a.m. Took a segment off. I was like, I'm tired. I don't want to talk anymore. I'm just kidding. I made the whole thing up.
Big Mac
always plays through the whistle. But it would be the same thing, right?
Yeah.
4:45, Big Mac's tired, so he wouldn't do that. He's not Tay Banks. I don't want to talk anymore. I'm just going to read the newspaper. That's what I'm going to do to end the last 10 minutes of this show because I'm tired. Well, guess what? Eye in the sky don't lie.
I hope Tay Banks is listening. Right in our target demo age.
Yeah, he is. He's right there. You're right about that. Let's go to Chris in Bayshore. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. Great show.
Appreciate it. What's up?
What's happening?
I'm with Lugie on this. I think Daboll's getting way too big a pass, and I think I go back to, and obviously you can't base it on this, but the guy is super arrogant. You hear him with the reporters after the game, and then you see any head coach will keep his feet on the table when a legendary owner walks in. Whether you respect him or not, you should respect him, obviously. But you know, it's got to be thinking a little bit, you know, a little bit differently, no?
What do you think of that?
What do you think of that? Owner's got to think differently about.
Yeah,
I mean, I think the owner set on his head coach for now.
Yeah, well, that
it's going to depend on how they finish this season.
Yes. That's the key to all of this.
Of course, it's the same thing that happened last year. Now, granted, it was only their second season, but they actually played pretty well down the stretch, and they could have won more games than they did, but they didn't quit.
That's the danger on how this season ends. If they compete to the finish line, kind of like you said with Tay Banks on tape or me making up a thing about Big Mac at 4:45 a.m., if you play through the end of this season and you're competitive and you win a game here or there, then I think Mara's words will hold true. But if things get worse, and they could, I don't know how the heck this season's going to end, then the intention of what one said in October won't be the same in January. And that's the danger the Giants face over the next few weeks.
They have a game on Sunday.
Correct.
If they lose to the Panthers, it won't just be me saying this now. Everyone will say, leave him in Germany, he being Brian Daboll. How could it get any worse? The Panthers are the worst team in the league by far.
I think it's a very fair point. I think this game in particular, when you're a 5.5-point favorite against the Carolina team that just got a coach fired. They did it themselves.
And you're getting Carolina off a win, which is a good spot to beat them. Because they're riding high off a win.
I don't agree with a lot of what you're saying, but I do agree with that. Like, this would be a tough game to lose and then say, we're heading in the right direction. It'd be tough. It's the Carolina Panthers in Germany.
And that's where I start to think that the players themselves are quitting in a way, because you have to beat Carolina. I'm sorry. They are horrific.
But they haven't lost yet. So what do you mean do you think they're quitting?
No. My point is that if they don't win this game, if they don't smash the Panthers, that's where you look at the coach, you look at the locker room, and you go, this team has quit on the season, and they quit on the coach.
If they lose to Carolina, you'd think that?
It depends on how they lose. Like, I'd have to see Bryce Young playing like a Pro Bowler. And then say, well, you know what? Kid just got good all of a sudden. But they should not lose this game.
No, they can't lose this game.
I know Chuba Hubbard is playing his best football. That's their running back. He's got, I think, 5 or so rushing touchdowns on the season, which is a career high for him in a season. So I know they're playing a little bit better, but they should have no business losing this game.
Now, I need your guys' opinions, because to varying degrees, you're all Jet haters. Obviously, Tiki isn't, because as you know, he loves Nate Hackett.
I do love Nate Hackett.
So you can't be a Jet hater, but your opinion, guys, is going to matter big time here. Because a few years ago, if you guys recall, there was a controversy around the New York Jets involving a T-shirt. And if you guys remember that, a Mike White T-shirt, where players started wearing Mike Bleepin' White T-shirts. I thought it was cool. I still think to this day it was cool. And many, whether it was revisionist history or in the moment, were critical of, wow, this is a bad look to have a T-shirt made for the backup quarterback when Zach Wilson is there.
Yes.
Disrespectful. That's when I lost it with Robert Saleh. I've heard that from Jet fans. Okay, so there was a T-shirt controversy a few years ago. There is a new T-shirt going around the Jet facilities right now, and I just want to make sure, to quote Tommy, with the no fun police, if this is okay. Because I know, maybe I'm not seeing clear-eyed. I'm a Jet fan. I'm happy. They're coming off a win. But according to Zach Rosenblatt, who does a fine job covering the New York Jets for The Athletic, Jet players are being given Garrett Wilson catch T-shirts. T-shirts have been made about the Garrett Wilson catch from a week ago.
This is weird.
Why is that weird?
Like, if I was on that team, and someone gave me a Garrett Wilson catch shirt, would I wear it?
Wouldn't you?
I don't know, man. It's just weird.
Oh, come on, man. Really?
It's just a little, I don't know. It's just weird. You, like, from a fan standpoint, you're like, oh, that's the awesomest thing in the world. That's cool. Let's wear these shirts. But when you're a dude and you're a baller and you've been working your whole life to live your dream and you're in the NFL and you're grinding and you got your own stuff going on, your own challenges, your own whatever hill to climb, and then someone gives you the shirt to celebrate you. It's just weird, dude.
What would you do?
I'd take it, but I wouldn't wear it. It's just weird. I know how fans think. Oh, that's the awesomest thing in the world. But
yes.
I don't know, man. No.
Do you
think it's weird. I'm just telling you, it's weird.
I'm glad I brought it up because you, first of all, you know me so well because you're like, yeah, typical fan. You think it's the coolest thing ever. And I'm like, yeah, can I buy the t-shirt? And you're like, nah, dude, that's weird. Do you think guys in the room think that's weird? It's a different generation, so maybe not. I don't know,
man.
Wow.
It feels like to me, it's like, hey, guys, look, something finally cool happened to us this year. Everybody wear it on a t-shirt.
Yeah, I know. It's just like, I don't know. Something doesn't click right.
When you guys,
I hear that, it doesn't click right in my head.
I know you're coming from a genuine place. He's coming from a hater place.
I'm not coming from a hater place.
No, I'm coming from Sean.
I was in that locker room, Sean, and someone gave me a t-shirt of Garrett Wilson, you know, spreading his junk and one hand and a ball over his head. Yeah, bro, look what I got on my chest. I don't think so.
No, I bet you're coming from a genuine place of, I wouldn't wear that. Sean's coming from a, I just hate the Jets place.
No, I'm not.
But you guys are coming across like buzzkills now. Because now I was all excited about it. I feel like a dip leap.
No, look, the Jets are 3-6. They do have still an ability to make a run in here. And I'm not saying you can't have fun or anything. Just feels like now's not the time to stop and celebrate that you had a cool playlist there. That's all.
Why can't this be their OMG shirt?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
OMG. Jose Iglesias, right? Yes. That's his song. This is Garrett Wilson's catch. This is what turned their season around. This is their rallying cry.
I'm with you. So you got me now.
I still wouldn't wear the shirt.
But it's like team unity, bonding. Davante Adams has talked about that, changing the culture in the locker room.
I'm all for it. Now,
all for that? Come on, hold on.
I'm all for anything that saves the Jets season.
This is a big time hold on. You want to talk about the most ridiculous comparison ever. Do you know what OMG t-shirts did? They helped publicize a coworker, a colleague's song that was also making money on his side hustle of being a musician.
And by the way, he is a bit player who was on a one-year deal.
Right.
And making probably league minimum.
On a team
he
with
probably wasn't. He's making
no expectations, as everybody's been reminded.
Right.
This isn't making Garrett Wilson his side hustle money and promoting a song.
Don't make me do what I'm about to do. I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it.
Do it.
Maybe this team realizes that, hey, Malik Nabers was getting all the hype. We got the real wide receiver in New York. You made me do it. I didn't want to have to do that.
Tommy has really sold his soul to be positive. I love it.
But Tommy, why does that even matter?
For the guys in that locker room, I would think it would.
You know this. Ball don't lie. Go look at the statistics. Go watch the film. Garrett Wilson is better than Malik Nabers.
Thank you, Jake. Thank you.
Like, no, it doesn't even, like, why you got to show everybody? It doesn't matter.
Because we're in a show me kind of generation. We're in a TikTok, Instagram.
You shouldn't be. These kids shouldn't be. Just go ball.
To me, and I appreciate the effort. I think it's a great effort.
You better appreciate that. I had to sell Malik Nabers sold down the river. You better appreciate what Positive Tom is doing here.
I do. I want to give you a hug because I also feel bad for you. Boy, did this guy sell his soul. And I respect that.
Right, I almost forget he's a Giants fan.
I forgot already.
He's not allowed to sit with us on draft night now.
Yes.
But I think what the Jets are doing, and it's sort of what you're saying, Tommy, and I think it's needed, is they've had a bad year. Been a bad year.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a really disappointing year all the way around. And something cool happened on Thursday. Besides winning a game, they had a really cool moment. And I think this is a locker room that's probably been very uptight, stressed out because they feel the pressure, that is finally getting a chance to smile.
Yeah.
And that's the part that I think is cool. Now, they got to go win. They got to go beat the Arizona Cardinals on Sunday. They got to go beat the Indianapolis Colts on a game that got flexed out of Sunday night because they're so crappy. But if this is a moment, a brief moment where they can smile and have some fun, I'm all for it because maybe it helps. Maybe this is the thing that they need. So, thank you for your loyalty, Tom.
You're welcome, Tommy.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week, with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.